you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
Happy Friday! Welcome to Daily Pop. I'm Carissa here with Aaron and Melanie. The next hour is jam-packed, you guys. Kim Kardashian West is opening up about motherhood in our exclusive new interview. Is she planning on having more kids? Plus, we're digging into Kanye's revealing new interview where he discusses everything from his sex addiction to his public feuds. Then Harvey Weinstein is publicly confronted by multiple women at a show, and one of the women was ultimately asked to leave the facility. So, should it have been her or Harvey that was told to leave? And we're putting our pumpkin carving skills to the test today, which I suck at, so
we'll see
how this goes. We're going to get some tips from Halloween Wars host Jonathan Bennett and expert pumpkin carver Tater Edwards. Mm-hmm. All right, but first, we have to get into some breaking news. Felicity Huffman is out of prison this morning after serving 11 of her 14-day sentence for her role in the college admissions scandal. No word on who picked her up or where she went after leaving the facility in Northern California. Felicity was set to be released on Sunday, which would have been the 13th day of her sentence, but we're told she was released on a Friday because that is a normal policy for inmates who are scheduled to be released on weekends.
I honestly think her lawyer was very, very smart because you get a window in which you can go in. And so I think her lawyer kind of worked it out, right? If you go in on this date, then it means that your out date would be a weekend, so actually it means you're going to get out 2 days earlier.
But honestly, what does that even matter? Two more days of meditation and yoga, getting your hair done.
The craft room.
The crafting, the reading, the knitting. I mean, what's two extra days? But good for her. You know what? I'm interested to know how she's feeling. You know, I wonder if she really felt separated from her family or she really kind of. I mean, I know it's like, you're not at home, you're not in your bed, but, you know, sometimes 2 weeks away. I mean, a nice break.
When I did 2 weeks at summer camp back in middle school, I was really missing my parents.
Darling.
And I'm sure she was really missing her comfortable home. But you know what? I think she also did have an eye-opening experience where she's like, this really sucks. Like, not only does it suck being away from home and being in prison, it also sucks that the whole entire public knows what I did and where I'm at. So I'm sure this really changed her as a human being.
Well, I think what's going to be interesting now, though, is that now that she's out, the fight really is on as far as if she's going to give a big exclusive interview and who's going to get that interview and whether it's appropriate to do it now, considering, I mean, Jane Buckingham, I think, was sentenced 2 days ago, but there are still, I think, 30 parents. It's only 10 or 11 that have been sentenced so far, but there are still others that are awaiting sentence. This week as well, it was announced that there were more charges that were being brought against them because the prosecutors are upset that the judge has been so lenient. But, you know, it will be interesting now that she's out, what she does. Is she going to go straight into doing a role, or is she going to give an interview, or is she just going to take some time to heal with her family?
So I have to ask you guys, because I had this debate with Justin and Morgan, and now that I have you guys here, I do not think she's going to do an interview. I think she's going to lay low for a while. She will get back into acting in, I don't know, 6 months or something along those lines. But I don't foresee ever a sit-down interview about this.
I
possibly
do.
One question answered at one point, but Never like a full sit down to explain her whole experience.
I feel like she's gonna take the time and then she's gonna have that full sit down maybe like a year from now, a year and a half, and then she's gonna go full throttle back into her career.
I think it would be inappropriate to do an interview now only because you don't want it in any way to impact or influence either side, right? You don't want to be gloating and be like, I've done it, I'm through, but yet there's all these other people that are about to go through the same thing. So I think it would be inappropriate, but I do think at some point she will give a thoughtful answer in response to one or two questions about it. Because look, she's handled this impeccably. Her apology was, she made a bad choice and a bad decision. But so do a lot of people in life over various different things. But yet she was apologetic and took full responsibility for it. For her, she's lucky in a way now. It's over.
Yeah.
She's out.
She's already paid her fine as well. She just has her community service.
She has her community service, but it's about now being with her family and just, like, getting over it and, like, you know, making different decisions in the future.
Yeah, she'll take her time.
Well, you guys watch E! News tonight to find out more about the latest of Felicity Huffman's release from prison. All right, let's move on to our exclusive interview with Kim Kardashian West. Now, do you think she wants more kids? Here's what she told us at a launch event for her KKW Beauty Collection in Ulta Beauty Stores.
Being a mom of four is definitely really hectic, but it feels so complete. So I love... I'm obsessed with my kids. I'm obsessed with being a mom of four. I'm definitely done, though, and feel like four is my limit. I believe everyone really needs so much attention, and I need to be available to give it to everyone.
If you want children, have you always said, because I know that you're not sure that you necessarily do want children, but if you do want children, have you always said, if I have children, I'm going to have this number of kids?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Three. I grew up with two siblings. There were three of us. I think that's a good number. And honestly, I don't want to deal with more than three pushes.
I understand. Pushes. I completely understand. I've always said three as well. However, I've also said, ever since having Chase, we'll reevaluate after each one. So after Chase, we reevaluated. We decided, yes, we wanted another one. We're pregnant now. After this one, we'll reevaluate again. Okay. And I'm not sure. And also, if I get a girl this time...
Oh, then you'll be done.
Then I can really think about it, you know? But if I get a boy, I'm going to be like, damn it. Yeah. Here we go. We got to do this again. What about you?
You know me. I live from moment to moment.
Yeah.
And there have been times in my life when I haven't wanted children, other times when I've been in love with somebody and I have wanted children. Who knows? I'm older than you two. We've talked about this a lot. And for me, it would be more about what's important to my partner.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But you're not going to see me... likely with five kids. But you never know. I might move somewhere and just adopt lots of children and do an Angelina Jolie, but say never.
I can't. Honestly, see that, like, with Mel, like, anything is possible.
Yeah.
She could never have children, or one day, yes, we will not see you for 5 years and we'll reconnect and you'll be like, hey, I have seven kids now. And I'll be like, that's Mel. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, now let's move on to her husband, Kanye. So it's really rare that Kanye wants to sit down for an interview, but he definitely made up for it with this one. Zayn Lowe for Apple Music Beats One. They sat down, talked for 3 hours just about. Wow. Kanye talked about so much: mental health, family, sex addiction, his feuds in the industry, and he even explains the unique request that he made of his Jesus is King collaborators. Watch.
You know, there was times where I was asking people to fast during the album. There's times where I was asking people to not have premarital sex while they were working on the album. Mm-hmm. See, there's times where I went to people that were working on other projects and said, could you just work and focus on this? I mean, it's known when people pray together, families that pray together, stay together. When people pray together and fast together, the power is increased.
What would you say if your boss said to you, no premarital sex? And fasting.
Totally different than just your random boss coming up to you and being like, you can't have sex and you gotta fast. Mm-hmm. If I came to work today and they said that to me, that would be uncalled for and unexpected. This is a worship Christian gospel album that Kanye West has let everyone know, this is what I'm making. I'm gonna invite you to collaborate and contribute to this if you're down with the cause, if you're down with this mission. The whole point of fasting is to hear God and to have a spiritual experience and to focus like your hunger on God and to hear what is he telling me to do? What is my purpose in life? You're not going into this album thinking that it's not going to be a Christian spiritual experience. So I think that that's fine. And the sex thing, that's also a part of the religion. And he wanted to keep the album really pure and true to what his whole... to the whole path that he's walking on right now. So I think this is awesome that he's doing.
Okay, so question, because actually there is there are other reasons that people, so they say like intermittent dieting, like it can, there are certain times where it can like expand your thought processes and you can have more clarity just scientifically. And the same with sex, like if you're a footballer or soccer player, I should say, in the Premier League in England, there's like before a World Cup game, like you're meant to not have sex because
NFL players too.
Yeah, like that's how you like you get your frustration out then in the game. So it's interesting. I'm curious though, could you have not worked on this album if you, let's say you do not believe in God?
I think that
would he have said no?
I think he probably would have had a conversation about you. Well, it's going with you saying it's going to be difficult for you to work on this project because this is all about this whole spiritual awakening that he's had. And everything that he's doing right now is for God. And he's being very intentional about it. So I think if he had someone working on this album who was like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe Jesus is Lord. I don't really want to participate in these things. Then I think it would be very easy for him to say, okay, well, I don't think this is the project that you should work on. Because he wants people who are really in it. And I saw the film that he dropped yesterday, and it had a couple scenes where they're working on the project. And it's not very behind the scenes, but you just see the people working on it, and they're singing, and they're worshiping, and they're praying. And I know people who've worked on this, and they're like, this was one of the most spiritual, most beautiful experiences I've ever had. And they reconnected with God, and they had moments where they just prayed. And they didn't even work on the album, but the people who were a part of it were all down with it.
Yeah, all these people that were a part of this were already taking part in Kanye Sunday service, correct?
Yeah.
So it is a little different in that sense because this is Kanye's church now, you know? And these are people who go to his church and they believe, you know, what the message is in this in their ceremonies. So I think that it's a little different. You're right. It's not like I came to work today and they were like, by the way, Carissa, you're not eating between 12 and 6 today. I would be like,
I'm sorry, Preston and Shalise, our producers. If they said to me, you're on Daily Pop tomorrow and you can't have sex because we need you to be passionate in the morning, I'd tell them where to stick it.
But yeah, it's not just about not eating and not just passion. It's for him, for the people.
It's because
involved.
It was a religious experience. Yeah. And they were signing up for what he feels was a religious experience in making this album, not necessarily like your average gig. This isn't just your average job, your average album. I hope, you know, I'm excited to hear what it's going to sound like.
It was meant to be out at midnight last night, right?
It's out on iTunes right now.
Has it just... Like, when did that happen?
He went on Kimmel last night.
But it wasn't out then.
It wasn't out by the time I went to bed last night. But right now, I just talked to my sources. It's out on iTunes right now. It's not on my Spotify as far as I know. But it should be on iTunes right now.
But guys, don't listen to it yet. You've got another 50 minutes.
Yeah, so stay with us. Stay with us because, yes, speaking of Kanye being on Kimmel last night, so he talked about balance in the interview. Oh, sorry, this is not on Kimmel. This is still on the other...
The Bean.
The Zane one. In this, he also talks about, he explains that people say, I'm working this job so hard to make a better life for my kids, and they look up, and they haven't spent their life with their kids.
So true.
I mean,
that's true.
This is a constant battle, I think, for parents back and forth. How do you shut off work to enjoy quality time with kids, family, and friends? I think this is something that everyone can relate to who is a working parent. For me, I do, I do put down my phone.
It's a phone.
It is. Yeah. It's
especially the work phone. I don't check those work emails after 5 p.m. So when you're hitting me at 8 p.m. telling me that my call time has shifted up to 7 a.m., I'm not reading it. Anyway, that's just me. Yeah, and I started that before I even had kids, because I think there was like, there is this expectation sometimes, because you're so accessible with the phone and the email, there's kind of this no excuse, you didn't read the email. And I'm like, well, there has to be an excuse, okay? Like, because I have some hours off and I need to like reset my brain. And I need to, if I don't separate from work at all, then I'm not going to be the best employee. You're not going to want me at work the next day. Yeah. Trust me. I'm going to be a very cranky person because I've been up all night. So I think there is a separation that has to happen, and I think it changes. I never think you're going to get it right. I think it, 1 week work's going to win. 1 week life's going to win.
Yeah.
And 1 week maybe, you know, parenting's going to win. But I don't ever think it's easy to say I'm going to try to be consistent, but it just can't, because there are certain weeks where work is going to need more of you, and there's certain weeks where your family needs you more.
And then there's some weeks where you need you, and you need to, like, take care of yourself properly, because if you're giving to every single person and filling up all these other buckets, your personal bucket is just depleted and empty and dry.
Yes, that happens a lot.
It's hard. Life's hard.
Just joking.
That's the moral
of
this story.
All right, coming up, you guys, we're going to read your tweets. Let us know what you think on our top stories so far. Use hashtag DailyPop plus Harvey Weinstein confronted at a club. Should people be calling him out in public? We'll get into that after the break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, we're reading your thoughts on whether employers should dictate your activities outside of work. Donna says it depends on your role within the organization. She says your actions can affect the brand.
That is true. Mm.
And Vita says you can do whatever you want outside of work as long as you don't showcase it publicly on social media if it reflects the company negatively.
True. Also a good point.
All right, moving on. So Harvey Weinstein got an earful during an event at a New York City bar last night. In a series of tweets, comedian Amber Rollo, who says in her post she was a rape survivor, was, quote, furious, sad, and frustrated when she saw Harvey in the audience. She adds she was shocked to see him in the audience because he was invited to an event put on by artists for artists. Others who spoke out were booed and told to shut up. One woman was actually escorted out. Harvey's rep tells NBC, Harvey Weinstein was out with friends enjoying the music and trying to find some solace in his life that has been turned upside down. This scene was uncalled for, downright rude, and an example of how due process today is being squashed by the public, trying to take it away in the courtroom, too.
I will just say, before you move on, trying to take due process out of the courtroom is also what settlements with women who accuse you of sexual assault does.
I like that point. That was worth speaking.
But you can carry on.
So Harvey also did speak out. This is what he said. I'm happy to address anyone's questions. We should all be offered the courtesy to voice opinions and be heard and to even get answers. I am glad we all still have these rights. That is from Harvey. So one of the things that we have to talk about is the woman who got escorted out. So the debate is who should have left, Harvey or those offended? The woman who got escorted out was making a scene. She was yelling at him, screaming at him, getting the whole bar to hear, and, you know, verbally attacking him. I think no matter what the reason is, when you do that in a public place, you usually are the one escorted out because you're disturbing others who might be trying to have a nice dinner or a nice time, and you can't be, like, screaming and starting a fight with somebody, no matter who it is, whether it's Harvey Weinstein or your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised that he was even out trying to enjoy some entertainment and just being around people, because that would be expected that you're going to get some comments, some backlash. He probably didn't expect someone screaming in his face. But if I was a person who was there and I watched another
a woman come and confront him in that way, I think I would be very uncomfortable. Just so, yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense why she was escorted out, but it also makes sense why she was very disturbed, like I'm sure a lot of people were, so.
I think it's so interesting. So he is going to court in January. There are two women that he's going to court for, but obviously we know that there are multiple accusers against Harvey Weinstein. For our lawyers to not get upset with me, I will say he is accused at the moment. He is not being convicted of anything, and he maintains his innocence. However, this was an actor's event, as you said. Actually, at one point during the night, there was a stand-up comedian on stage who saw Harvey Weinstein and didn't quite know whether to say anything or not. And so she actually referenced him being in the audience during it and said, like, and you know, Harvey Weinstein is in the audience, and she made a joke about it, and she was booed by some of the audience members for even bringing up that he was there, that she was criticising him, which I think is very interesting that that happened in itself.
I do too.
The other interesting thing about his appearance at this club is that he was, and I'm not judging these women, I just think it's very interesting, he was actually, and I've seen one picture of it, at a table with young women. And, you know, I've read, she said, the book by the two New York Times reporters who uncovered first the report on Harvey Weinstein. I do like when you read that book and you read about particularly the settlements, again, criminally, he has not been found guilty of anything. It's upsetting, really. And I do kind of question who he's hanging out with and what, you know, when you read the facts as they're presented by the New York Times reporters and somebody like Ronan Farrow as well.
I don't know that everybody takes the time to read that stuff.
I don't blame them for it because, you know, they're books and who has time to read a book right now? And we've got our life on our phone.
I think sometimes when you know somebody, you take it and you don't question it. Sometimes there's that blind faith in a friend or blind faith in a colleague and you don't go and look at the evidence because you don't want to know. Because to you, maybe Harvey's a nice guy.
That does bring up a moral or ethical question, I guess. And there's no right or wrong answer to this. But whether somebody's been convicted or not, if you've got 50 people against them, let's say like Bill Cosby as well, there was a lot with him. Can you ignore it?
I think there are some people that have probably just been ride or die for you in your corner forever. They're practically family, and they turn a blind eye. They just are saying, you know what, I'm just going to know you for our interactions, and I'm not going to judge you for what the public sees. So I don't know. There are some people who are just like that.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. I'm like not judging somebody, but it's like if I had a really good friend and there were multiple people that said that they had done something bad, could I ignore it even if there wasn't a criminal conviction? And I don't know if I could ignore it. You know, it's...
Yeah, it's something to think about for sure. Hopefully we're never in that situation and our friends
It's a good point.
All right, still ahead. Should it be illegal to call someone a bitch? One lawmaker thinks so. We're going to get into that just ahead. If you live in Massachusetts, you better listen up and watch your mouth because one representative filed a bill that would make it illegal to call someone a bitch in public. So if you do accidentally slip up, you can get yourself fined up to $200 or even serve some time in jail.
What?
Like 6 months?
Huh?
That's kind of crazy. Is this ridiculous or should the word be banned?
No, this is ridiculous. I'd be in major debt if this happened. Like, because there are playful ways to say bitch as well.
Bitch,
did you see that? Like, there are funny, playful ways to say it.
There's an empowering way to say the word bitch. I can be a real bitch, and I'm proud of it sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, something can taste bitchin', and that's awesome.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, I don't like this rule.
I'm not a big fan of it either.
I mean, honestly, what is the world coming to? What else are we going to be banned from
doing? Okay, but wait,
if
you're not from there and you go and then you use the word bitch and that's just part of your daily vocabulary, will you also be fined or possibly go to jail?
Yes. Where's free speech? I mean, I get it if you're using like hate language. I don't see bitch as like that.
Yeah, we need to reclaim the word.
I don't see it as, let's reclaim it.
Bitch!
Boom.
Sorry, Massachusetts man. We're not into that law. Okay. A model who previously said she's too beautiful to find love has proven herself wrong. Jenna found a man with the help of a relationship coach who gave her a very interesting piece of advice. Apparently, the key to finding love is rotational dating, which means not exclusively seeing one person unless they are serious about commitment. The coach says women especially can get easily attached and overly focused on one person, only to find further down the line that they maybe aren't serious. So is rotational dating the key to finding your
partner? That's just dating.
100%.
That is literally just dating. People do that anyway. People are dating multiple people until they find the person that they want to date exclusively.
Well, so here's the thing. I never do rotational dating just because I'm a nightmare and I really don't have time. But I 100% will start dating somebody and become attached too quickly because I've put all of my eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. And I've read a million relationship books in my life, and there's this one relationship book, I think it's called Get Into I Do or something. And in that book, and most of them, even Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, I think they say the same thing. They say, like, at the beginning, like, date multiple people because then you're not going to be hanging on their every word. And, like, and the thing when you're only dating one person as well, at the beginning, guys, I'm really talking about at the beginning, is that that one person knows and you seem over-eager and over-enthusiastic about the relationship and it's a total turn-off and that's why, and then they don't call you and then you get panicky and, like, hi, do you remember I'm here?
Yeah, you got
all that ridiculous stuff. Yeah. And it's like, so if you date more people, I just have a problem doing it because I'm just not, like, good with my time, but...
But you let them believe that you're dating other people, right? Even if you aren't, like, let's say, like, you only have one date prospect in your life at the moment, I still would... I did not make it seem like, I mean, I would pretend that I might have other things going on.
You gotta let them know that you are only an option right now. Like, and you're not the person that I want
to win me over.
Exactly. You're the only one. Although there are some people who really do value that. And they're like, I want to be the only one right at the jump. Like,
I know, I do like it when a guy says that to me.
You know, the best piece of advice I ever got from a therapist or a relationship person was to spend, as a journalist especially, spend the first 3 months observing somebody. And I mean by that not making any decisions about whether they're the right person for you, the wrong person for you, just like observe, because you can't know somebody unless you've known them for a while.
What if you meet on a dating app? You don't have that option to observe.
I mean by observing, like, go on dates, but, like, keep your mind options free open from them, because you do not know somebody. It takes time to get to know somebody.
What about those people, they get engaged after 3 months?
Well, then great. And I believe in love, but I just mean, like...
Yeah, it's a good advice. Okay, so we obviously see dating online as a huge trend. Do you think... But there's a lot more, like, relationship coaches. They're becoming more and more popular. Do you think this will be, like, the new way of finding somebody is hiring a relationship coach? I kind of want to be a relationship coach.
You don't need a coach. Like, you just need to get in tune with who you really are and figure out what you don't want. So, like, date enough people to know, don't want this, don't want this, don't want this, I want this. And then finally you can, like, figure out, this is who I want to be, this is who I am, this is who I want to be with. And then it can work out. I don't think you need someone else to tell you what you want.
I mean, we're all naturally going to go to our friends or our family members and ask, like, what do you think? Do you think we look good together? Do you think we're cute together? Do you think we like him?
I don't care what you think about how we look.
You have never asked a friend what we think about your relationship.
I don't care how we look or appear to be. Like, do you like him as a person?
Erin, it's just a simple question you ask. Are we going to make cute babies? Come on. Everybody asks that question every once in a while. Do you think it'll be cute?
I don't care about the cuteness. Like, do you think he's good?
You don't take looks into consideration at all?
No. Do you like the character? Do you think that they're a good person? Do you think that the energy is right or the vibe? Like, do we have a right good foundation? That's what I'm asking my friends. Do you think that we...
Because you know your man's cute. He's
okay,
really cute.
He happens to be cute. And by the way, we didn't do rotational dating. We just knew, okay, we're going to be together.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not an expert. Don't ask me for an opinion.
All right, guys, up next, are Harry and Meghan on the outs with the Queen, or did she just do a little redecorating? We're digging into the case of the missing royal picture.
Da, da, da.
What happened, Melanie?
Oh. She moved into the other mantle. asshole.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
There's a mystery afoot in Buckingham Palace. A photo of Harry and Meghan Markle has gone missing. In the past, the Queen has kept pictures of William and Kate and Harry and Meghan on a table. See right there? There they are, very cute. Well, some people on the internet noticed that the picture of Harry and Meghan disappeared.
Dun, dun, dun!
The palace is not commenting. Well, what do you think happened to the picture?
Okay, so I've analyzed this table, obviously.
Did you analyze both tables, though?
I did. And basically, on the table without Harry and Meghan. So when Harry and Meghan's picture was on there, actually, like, went over, you couldn't quite see William and Kate's picture, because it was kind of three frames on the table as opposed to two. What now is on the table is that there were reading glasses on the table and some papers. So I think that the table also has a practical reasoning too. It's where she can put her cup of tea. And so I just think it's having three pictures on there is just like a bit, but I do think there is something bigger behind this. And I do think that Harry and Meghan are potentially, there is a bigger rift in the royal family now that they've done that big interview.
I think what happened...
But I don't think the Queen has, like, knocked them off the table. I think it's for practical.
You don't think she violently, like, threw them off the table?
But no.
She was like,
oh, yeah!
She's like, well, having a little rift. Let me just move this, and I know you're all going to notice it because she's trying to be a little bit petty.
Yeah, no. Okay. I don't think so.
I think that not seen in photo, there is a coffee table opposite...
There is another table on the other side.
No, not that one. There's one... out of frame, mm-hmm. on the other side of this living room or whatever this room is, this royal room, it's another coffee table that has a photo of Harry and Meghan and baby Archie, and she's like, aww. I'm gonna dedicate this entire table to that family.
Maybe that's what happened.
They yes.
replaced it with a picture with Archie, and it's bigger in a bigger frame.
In a bigger coffee table.
Area of the mystery room. Solved.
I am just not convinced this 90-something-year-old woman is like,
93, darling.
Let me make a petty move right now.
She's not petty.
I'm thinking, I'm putting it over here.
She is not petty, and neither is the Dalai Lama. Justin is not here to defend himself, but the Queen and the Dalai Lama, neither of them are petty.
Justin, tweet us your thoughts, because we know you disagree.
All right, let's read some of your guys' thoughts on our story so far. On Kanye asking his employees to fast and refrain from sex, Nisi says, your spirituality or relationship with God is a self thing. I hope Kanye respects that.
Oh, by the way, the album is streaming everywhere. I just checked. I think when we went on the air, it dropped on. So it's on Spotify.
Nice. Okay, go listen to it. James doesn't think we should make the word bitch illegal. He says, this is ridiculous. Melanie is right. Reclaim the word. It's called free speech. Yes. And Julie has a question. She says, if the word bitch were ever made illegal, what would Justin say for the rest of his life? That's a good question.
Witch.
Coming up, you guys, it's pumpkin carving time. We're waging a mini Halloween war with Jonathan Bennett and Tater Edwards. You don't want to miss this. What is happening?
So spooky.
You've got just 45 minutes. Your time starts now.
Go, hurry.
So nightmare, like teddy bear, like, dude, I'm scared of all stuffed animals.
We chose our name Trio of Terror because you put the three of us together and we sure are a terror. I'm Tater Edwards and I'm the pumpkin carving specialist.
Gotta peel these butternuts real fast so I can get started on the pumpkin.
We've got this idea of these unicorns that didn't like each other and the one took the other one's head and put it on his head as a hat.
Welcome the host of Halloween Wars, Jonathan Bennett, my friend.
Hello,
and then we have Master Pumpkin Carver Tater Edwards. Hello. You guys, he is working on a giant pumpkin right here. Should we show them what we're whipping up here?
Let's give it a nice
Yeah.
This is what he does. He's fantastic.
Okay, you made these pumpkins last night all by yourself,
yes.
And you're gonna be doing the finishing touches. So you like show us like what are the little touches you would add to this?
Yeah, for sure. So it's really just the depth of the details of all the wrinkles in the face. So as this pumpkin comes to life, not only do you sculpt it, but then you're gonna go in with a knife and you're just gonna come in and you're just gonna create little tiny wrinkles.
I mean, I have plenty of those.
Well,
why would you put them on a pumpkin? I can give you some.
Yeah, okay, and then do you have tips for some, you know, new pumpkin carvers like myself?
Yes, get a mirror. You probably have one in your purse, right?
Maybe, well, okay.
There you go, get a mirror.
I've got
study your face.
Oh, okay.
And you originally work with your own face first, and then once you move on.
Well, that sounds like it'll be a very scary pumpkin if I'm doing my own face. Okay,
It's gonna be beautiful.
It's gonna be great. We're gonna host a Halloween war of our own.
Fantastic.
Carissa, Mel, get in over here.
Get over here.
Taylor, Mel, you're with Jonathan.
Mel, you're with me. Come here, gorgeous.
I just want you to know I've carved a pumpkin once in my life, and I found it to be a very difficult experience. And I never did it again.
We're going to make this amazing.
You have a design concept. Okay,
you want to do that. What she wants to make.
All right, prepared.
We're going to see who can carve and decorate the best pumpkin. Jonathan, I have a question for you. What made you want to host this?
Well, okay, look, Halloween Wars is the most fun show on Food Network. It's our fan favorite show of the network. Everyone loves it. They wait all year for it to air. Because we take amazing pumpkin carvers, amazing sugar artists, and out of this world cake artists, and we combine them in teams to create these amazing, mind-blowing creations. And it's just so much fun to be a part of it, because not only are the displays beautiful and scary and freaky, but they're also edible. So you get to eat amazing food, and then I get to dress up like crazy characters like that and get scared every single day. So it's just the most fun to show on, to work on. Other than
yours,
of course.
What are you guys planning over here?
Carissa's got the knife.
We gotta get started.
Wait, they have a head start. We have to go faster. Come on.
Okay, there's chaos going.
Come on.
We're doing.
You want to do what we're doing? Don't look at ours. Don't look at ours.
Anyway.
Watch your fingers. Here we go.
I'm gonna be carving and getting to this.
I got this.
Jonathan, I still have questions for you.
Yes, ask me questions.
You have your season finale this Sunday.
We have the season finale of Halloween Wars this Sunday on Food Network, 9 o'clock. Tune in. And basically, we have our final two teams going head to head. Ooh, that looks amazing. Going head to head for $50,000. So we have the Team Buttercream Beast and Team Frosted Freak Show are our last two teams left. And they're gonna come on. Have this amazing finale. Tater, how big are the pumpkins they carve for the finale? They're like 800 pounds, right?
That's not this high.
They're 800 pound pumpkins. Okay, go. Take this, Mel. Take this.
Do you practice year round, or do you just do this during Halloween?
He does watermelons.
I carve ice. I carve watermelon.
In summer, you could have a watermelon.
Cut up. I get it in my hands, and I just
say, come on, you got
it. Keep going. Yeah, you're doing very good.
That's crazy.
And then I take it out.
Tater, you obviously are so talented, but you were recently voted off. What do you think went wrong when you were eliminated?
Gosh, look how good we are.
I think the judges actually looked at the wrong piece and thought it was mine.
Oh, Tater.
I love it.
Remember, Tater, I don't have any say in this, right? I just make bad jokes.
You know, I want to get my hands dirty here.
Get your hands dirty. Aaron, just come carve ours.
Okay, I'm going to carve theirs.
Come ours.
I feel like you guys have an advantage over here.
We're the dream squad.
I mean, we're
amazing.
I need a knife. Oh, my gosh.
Are you kidding me? I'm sticking my lines in.
All right, guys.
But you did so good at designing, Mel. I'm so proud of you.
Take a quick break, but we're gonna return, and then you can check out what we've created. And if you guys could send a lot of tweets for my team, that'd be great. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
No, our team is better. We're gonna win.
Not happening.
All right, we're back, and we're in the thick of our Halloween war with Jonathan Bennett and Taylor. All right, you guys, I'm gonna start with you guys over here. Tater, Team Tater, what is the strategy here? This looks insane.
We wanna kinda make it a creepy, crazy, bloody mess.
Yeah, this is a bloody mess.
My strategy is follow whatever Tater does.
It works for me.
You guys, what is your strategy over here? You still have like a couple more seconds to work on
this. We're done.
Oh, you're done?
No, we can keep going.
Okay. Our strategy is just to pray at this point. We would just like to pray that it will turn out well.
Okay.
I mean, they have Tater on their team. Yeah, We're doing the best we can.
I've contributed a lot.
Have you guys utilized your glue?
Yeah, totally used the glue. I think I glued my finger together.
I don't even
know. Yes, these are the flashlights. We're going a little old school with ours. It's like a classic cat. Get it in there.
They're free-handing.
Ooh, it's lighting up. It's lighting up. Come on.
It's lighting up.
Ready? Put the other one in.
Tater, how is Carissa as a contributor, collaborator, participant of this competition?
She's done actually most of it, actually. I've just been standing here.
Yeah, I mean, I see your hands bloody, Tater. Okay, what's going on over here?
It's going really well.
So, I'm not
going
whenever really you guys well. Are ready are for the reveal.
Are we revealing?
Are we revealing yet?
What are we revealing?
We're going to do a reveal. We will start with Team Jonathan.
Okay, Team Jonathan, we'd like to reveal our pumpkin. Now you have to say, go ahead and reveal your pumpkin.
Go ahead and reveal
tell us about your display. Okay.
Go ahead and reveal your pumpkin and tell us about your display.
Oh, thank you, Erin. we made a cat.
He's so cute. That's
kind of cute. Do you want to tell them about it, Mel?
I just like, these are our whiskers
very
and
good.
Nose and then like, yeah.
And her and a nose.
And we did very well.
And our inspiration was the black cat from Hocus Pocus.
Oh, that's okay. Great.
Wow. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That was our inspiration. Thank you very much.
Let's see what the judges say about that.
All right,
we're going to go over here to Team Tater. Please, Taylor, reveal your display and tell us about the pumpkin.
Oh my God, that's so cute!
What we've got is a little crazy pumpkin. Mm-hmm. He got a little nuts bleeding all over the place.
Yeah.
Crazy eyes. We actually themed ours after Jonathan Bennett.
Yes. Oh. Okay, this is Jonathan when he wakes up after a rough night out.
I just call that Tuesday.
Wow. Okay.
We call this Spooky John.
And Spooky
he's
Jonathan,
got hair, and he's even got some eyes in there.
Yes.
Yeah. What did you use? Oh, those are gooey.
We used gooey eyes.
Those, those are real.
I threw a couple of them at them, but I didn't know if they stuck to them.
But you guys had Tater on your team.
No. Carissa did some stuff.
You obviously did, but like he's like a professional pumpkin carver.
I don't know. I mean, it's casting the stars. I've never carved a pumpkin in my life.
Exactly.
Okay, I've only done it once, and this is my second attempt. All right, you guys. I have to choose a winner.
Please pick a winner. Erin, give us your blessing.
The winner,
be honest with your heart,
of
the pumpkin carving competition is... Tater! Yeah!
Yeah!
You know what? Wait. There is a spirit award that is going on. The mail. Thank you for participating. Do we save the pumpkin seeds to make a snack after?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Okay, great.
These have a lot of seeds.
You guys, you can pick your favorite on our Daily Pop Instagram story. Go cast your vote right now. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you guys.
The season finale of Halloween Wars airs this Sunday on Food Network. We'll be right back with more Daily Pop.
Wow, this is so
cool. Can I take this home? Then I can look like such a professional.
Good kitty, good kitty.
Good kitty.
Diddy is looking to change his name yet again.
Of course.
This time, Sean John Combs has requested to legally change his name to Sean Love Combs.
Aww.
I mean, can you even name all of the names that this guy has had?
P. Diddy, Puff Daddy,
Puff Daddy. Wasn't there Brother Love?
I think that's the new
Brother
one.
Brother Love was his, that's what he put on Twitter in 2017.
No, but I think he wants Love or Brother Love now.
No, he wants, you just said something else right now.
I know, but at the end it said AKA Brother Love.
Sean Combs.
Okay, so there's Sean Combs, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Brother Love, what's the new one?
The new one's Love.
Puffy, just
Sean
Puffy.
Love.
Sean Love.
No.
Sean Love Combs. So there's six
here's
names.
Here's the thing. The problem with changing your name this many times is if we ever have to talk about him, I'm not going to know what to call him.
I'm just going to call him Puff forever.
Puff forever?
Yeah, just Puff.
All right, well, do what you want. Okay, we're heading into the weekend, but first let's read some final tweets from you guys. We have Sean, who has a theory about what happened to the picture of Harry and Meghan. He says maybe the picture has been moved even closer to the Queen in these tough times. A little positivity and optimism here.
I like that. Emerald has a question. She says, I can barely get a date with one guy. How am I supposed to do rotational dating?
I feel you, darling.
Lie.
I know.
Just pretend. They don't have to know that you are only dating him. Just make it sound like you have more. And Brandy Glanville agrees with us about keeping the word bitch legal. She says, bitch, please. The world is one giant reality show right now.
I agree, Brandy.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just keep it.
We're keeping bitch. That's our vote. All right, that's our show for today. Monday, Atlanta housewife Cynthia Bailey is stopping by. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye, guys. Bye. We didn't have any alcohol on this show.
I know. They've cut us off.
What?
I guess I can't drink anyway.
Well, she better be cut off.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.